Welcome to Scripture Beneath the Surface, an outreach of Preparation Ministries, a presentation to encourage God's people to embrace a life of holiness and to move away from the worldly lifestyle of today's church. It is our hope that you will come to understand the message of 2 Corinthians 6, 17, and 18, which tells us to come out from among them and be a separate people. We bring this to you because we believe Jesus is coming soon. Now here is our host, Randy Smith.
Hello. Thanks for being with us. Today, I'd like to talk about an interesting event that I think we Christians will see as we get closer to the coming of the Lord. What I'll be talking about in this next half hour probably won't fit within the theological framework of everyone who is listening, but then you probably don't listen to this program because you agree with everything I say anyway. And if I were listening to you for the next half hour, I probably wouldn't agree with everything you would say either. But then we aren't supposed to listen to someone and just accept everything they say. We're supposed to take what we hear, ponder it, compare it to Scripture, pray about it, and then let God's Holy Spirit guide us into the truth, just like it says in John 16:13. Anyway, I'd like to start out with an interesting experience I had many years ago. One Sunday evening, I was in church, and there was an invitation to come forward and pray for those who were in need of prayer. Some churches do this on a regular basis, and some don't. Personally, I like a church in which I can participate. Sometimes in the more traditional churches, the congregation is not expected nor invited to take part in praying for others. Anyway, most of the rest of the congregation went forward to pray, and I also started to go forward, but right at the time I was preparing to step out of my pew, I felt the Lord directing me to stay where I was. It was a strong feeling that I should not move out of my pew, but stay where I was, and it surprised me. So what I did then was to begin to pray for clarification and understanding. This is important when you feel that your spirit is moving you to do something or not do something, for Satan can talk to you just as well as the Lord can. The difference is in recognizing which still small voice you are hearing. Now, as I stood there in my pew, the other people went forward to the front of the church and began to pray for one another. And then suddenly, I began to see images in my mind. No, not just picturing something that I was thinking about, but it was like watching a movie play itself out. I had never experienced anything like this before, and now I know that what I was seeing was a vision. However, at the time it was happening, I didn't think of it as a vision because it had never happened to me before, and for that matter, never has happened since that time, at least in the same manner. Anyway, here I was, standing in church, mostly by myself, with most of the other people a little ways away from me. My eyes were closed, but images were moving in front of me. Let me describe what I saw. The picture I was watching was flickering. I mean, in the sense that old-time movies used to flutter and flicker instead of running smoothly, as if there weren't enough movie frames to create a smooth transfer from one frame to another, kind of like it was when movies were first made in the late 1800s or early 1900s? Now, the first thing I saw was a view of the earth, but a view from up high, like I was maybe 5,000 miles above the earth. It was so high up above the earth that I could actually see the earth's curvature. As I looked down, I could sense that I was in motion and was moving from east to west. And as I looked down on our world, watching the earth rotate under my view, I could see that everything within my range of vision was brown, as if all the vegetation had died. Everywhere on the earth it was the same, as if I were seeing the worst time of famine in the history of the world. There was no green grass or trees, only wilderness-type conditions, as if all the vegetation had died. Certainly there was no green pastures for cattle to graze in. It looked extremely desolate, as if it hadn't rained in 100 years. Now, as I stood there in my pew, seeing all these things, I began to wonder what was happening to me. I opened my eyes and looked around, thinking that I might be experiencing hallucinations or something. But the other people were praying and all was normal. As I closed my eyes again, the flickering images returned just as vividly and continued on where they had left off. All I could do was say in my heart, "Lord, what is this?" Well, I wasn't getting any answer, but the images continued to play out. Shortly, from the perspective of the vision, I began to descend quickly, moving down closer to the earth's surface. And then, immediately, my view changed and I found myself looking out through a porthole, such as you might find on a ship. And I was moving through the sea, apparently in a large ocean vessel. This porthole that I looked out through seemed to me to be very old-fashioned in that it was a small round hole with rivets all around the frame of the glass. It reminded me of what a ship might have been like back around 1900, give or take a little. I didn't actually see the ship around me, except for the porthole I was looking through, although I can remember the walls of the room being a lime green color. In my mind, as I looked through the porthole, I thought of the ocean. But the ocean, the sea, which I saw through the porthole, was sand and not water. It was as you might expect a desert to be, with stationary waves of sand instead of rolling waves of water. All I could think of were rolling sands of the sea, but where there was no water, only sand. As I watched through the porthole, I saw a group of riders on horses come up over one of the hills of sand. They were dressed like desert nomads, with the flowing robes of people of Arab descent, and there were maybe 15 or 20 of them. Their horses were dark in color with various hues of browns and blacks, except for one Arab in the middle. This one Arab was in the forefront of the others and appeared to be the leader of the group of riders. He rode a white horse, and his clothing was white. Then the riders turned to their right and began to ride along parallel with the ship in the direction I was going, keeping pace with me and my porthole. As I watched them, the Arab, who was dressed in white and who rode on the white horse, began to separate from the rest of the horsemen and moved toward me. Galloping along at an easy pace, he moved closer to my vantage point at the porthole until he came so close to me that I could only see him from the chest upward. He looked directly at me and smiled a very friendly, broad smile, showing even white teeth. In the vision, he was a very handsome person, both in stature and in facial appearance, similar to what I might imagine an Arab sheik to be in one of the old Hollywood movies. His age seemed to be somewhere in the 40s, give or take a little. However, the most significant thing about his whole appearance was that it was what we humans might consider as the perfectly proportioned handsome man in Arab attire. I didn't feel anything special as to whether he was a good person or a bad person, just that he appeared to be friendly. After he smiled at me, he moved back away from my porthole and rejoined the other horsemen. As this occurred, my attention of the vision became focused toward the direction the ship was heading, and I saw an embankment directly ahead, a ridge of ground running parallel with the shoreline, and which appeared to be 5 or 6 feet higher than the shoreline itself. The ship turned to the left at that point and began to move parallel with the shore and the embankment. And upon this embankment was a set of railroad tracks. At the same time this was happening, the group of horsemen rode up onto the bank, crossing the railroad track, and then turned in the direction I was heading in the ship. At this time, the Arabs changed in appearance, becoming Western Indians, like as in cowboys and Indians. A train then came down the tracks in the same direction I was traveling in the ship, and the Indians rode along beside it. As the train came near to me, I suddenly found myself moving up and out of my place at the porthole, and found myself looking down at the train from approximately 30 feet or so above it. It was a passenger train, such as you might see in a movie of the Old West, somewhere in the same time frame as the ship porthole I had been looking through, about 1900, give or take some. After noticing this, I began to come down through the roof of the train into one of the passenger cars. There were no passengers in the train car, but I found that I was able to see from there directly down the tracks. It was a very straight and level track, and as I continued to watch, the train went straight ahead and then came to a high mountain. The tracks continued straight up the side of the mountain, and as I neared the top of it, I saw a very bright light at the tip of the mountain. As I watched, I saw a very shiny, but very short and stubby, old-fashioned passenger airplane fly from the point of light at the tip of the mountain and glide down to earth and land at an airport runway. When the airplane landed, it was dark. A large airplane hangar was directly ahead and was lit up inside, shedding light out onto the runway and onto the little stubby old-fashioned airplane that had just landed. At that point, a very tall man climbed out of the little stubby airplane. The stubbiness of the airplane accentuated the tall man's height, making me very aware of how tall he was. He was dressed as a pilot, but with clothing from the time period which might best be associated with the same time period as the ship and train, circa 1900. The clothing consisted of English-style riding pants and boots, a brown leather jacket with a leather helmet, and a long white silk scarf around his neck. He walked away from the little passenger plane and into the airplane hangar, which was lit up very brightly, and then he disappeared from my sight. At this time, the picture changed back into daylight, and I saw a group of city buildings, such as would be found in a large city, slowly revolving as if they were all sitting on a very large turntable. As I watched them revolve, one particular building came into view which was quite tall and reminded me of the Tower of Big Ben in London. However, in place of where the clock should have been on the four sides of the building, there was instead a puppet face, such as a string puppet would have, and surprisingly, the face was a puppet caricature of Prince Charles. This left no doubt in my mind that what I was witnessing was representative of London, England. At this time, the scene changed again, and I again found myself high up above the earth as I had been at the beginning of the vision. Only this time, instead of the earth being brown, desolate wilderness, it was now covered with lush green vegetation. The green color was extremely vivid. I can't imagine any more lush vegetation than I was seeing at that time. I don't know if it's significant, but at the beginning of the vision, when I had been high above the earth, I had been moving from east to west. This time I moved from west to east. As I moved eastward, I saw that the whole earth was covered with this lush green vegetation, all that is except for one place, which was not green. Looking down at that place, I saw a large round area, which appeared to be several hundred miles in diameter, which contained no vegetation, but was desolate brown wilderness. In my vision, I believed what I was seeing was an area which was located in the center of Europe. Now, as I watched, I saw in the very center of this brown circle, the earth begin to heave upward. And as I watched the earth move, it began to form into a large structure, or mound of earth. the action of the formation reminded me of clay animation in a cartoon, as when a piece of clay forms in flickering segments and then in the same flickering segments of film dissolves and forms into something else. As I watched the soil form itself, it rose up and became like a very high cone shape. All I could think of as I watched this was that it reminded me of the Tower of Babel. Then, as fast as it had formed, it dissolved back into the ground. Then the cycle repeated itself, forming up into a high tower made of dirt, and then receding back into the ground. It repeated this sequence several times with great speed, and then the vision ended. I again opened my eyes, and the people were still praying at the front of the church. During this time, I had opened my eyes a couple of times, and seeing everything was normal, I had closed my eyes again, and the vision had continued where it had left off. During this time, I could still hear the people praying. It wasn't like I was removed from them, and I didn't hear any sound in my vision. I only saw the scenes as they unfolded. Well, I didn't know what to think about it. This had never happened to me before, and personally, I'm skeptical when someone tells me they had a vision. And if this had been the end of the matter, I probably wouldn't have thought too much about it. But about 2 weeks later, I was at my place of employment, and the television was on in the day room of the institution I worked in. The program that caught my attention as I was going about my usual tasks was a program called The Mike Douglas Show. If you're as old as I am, you might remember it. He, Mike Douglas, would have different guests on the show and interview them about something. What caught my attention was a particular guest who was saying something about the Christ. Being a Christian, I was interested in what a secular program could possibly be saying about Christ, but as I tuned in to what they were actually saying, I was in for a surprise. The guest's name was Benjamin Cream. He told the listening audience that he was the public relations representative of an organization called the Masters of Wisdom. The Christ he represented was not Jesus Christ, but a person he referred to as Maitreya, which he said was the Christ. Well, I was all ears by this time. The interview with Mike Douglas didn't last very long, but I was able to jot down some information that this man gave about a book called Reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom. He said his organization was a large one, headquartered in London, England, and also had a counterpart office in New York City. So, driven by curiosity, I went to the library to see if the book was available. It was. I read it cover to cover. It was the most diabolical book you can imagine, for it was extremely deceptive for any person who was not familiar with true Bible scripture. According to this man, Benjamin Cream, the Christ, as he referred to it, was an entity separate from a specific person, and this Christ entity inhabits humans at different times in order to bring about the will of God. In fact, he claimed that this Christ entity had inhabited Jesus, but had been unsuccessful at that time in bringing peace to the earth. He stated that the intent of this person, who was called Maitreya, was to attempt once again to bring peace to mankind. In order to do this, Maitreya, who is supposed to be the actual Christ, would choose a person to work through once again, would inhabit him, and make a reappearance to the world, and this time attempt one more time to bring peace to the people of Earth.
We hope you're finding today's message interesting. If you would like a copy for your own use, please listen after Randy's closing thoughts for our contact information. As long as the Lord enables us, we will provide all of our materials free of charge. Please be assured that you will not be asked for any donation. We believe God will supply our need as He sees fit. God's word is freely given. Now, once again, here's Randy.
Now, as I said before, when someone says they had a vision, I am immediately skeptical. But the reason I've shared this with you is because of the similarities from the book by this Benjamin Cream and my vision. Listen to this as I tell you what the book said and what the author said on the television show and how these are so very similar to the things I had seen in the vision a couple of weeks prior to that. According to the book, the Christ entity now inhabits a man who is very tall. His nationality is predominantly Arabian. But this very tall Arabian-type man was actually created by the Christ entity, for no other human on earth had the qualities that the Christ entity needed. Therefore, the Christ entity went to a place just north of India's border at a place called the Valley of Lights in the Himalaya Mountains of Tibet. The book claims that the creation of this human body took 7 years to accomplish, and then the Christ entity entered into him. Then Maitreya, as he is now called, took a train to India, and from there flew in a passenger plane to London, England, which was for the purpose of fulfilling the biblical scripture that says, "He shall come in the clouds." Well, to me, this was a little more than coincidence, my having the vision, and then getting these very similar facts a couple of weeks later. If it had happened the other way around, with the information of Maitreya and Benjamin Cream's explanation coming first, then I would have completely dismissed it. But to have the vision first and then hear of the false Christ by seeing the man on TV, it is highly an unlikely chance. And the central concepts of the order of events matched my vision. Essentially, the man I saw in my vision was very tall. He was Arab, and because I could conceive of the riders in my vision being Indians, then I could see the connection of this man working with Eastern Indians. The train and the plane were also plainly indicated, and the man was supposed to have come from the mountain which had a bright light, and he did fly to London. As to what this all means, I'm not sure, except that I have always believed that God was showing me that, in the end times, one of the predominant false Christs would be this Maitreya. Most people are not aware of him, and if they are, they may not think too much of it. But if you have an opportunity to read the book, you would be amazed at how deceptive it is. Under the right circumstances, most people of the earth would be taken in by the deception. Only those who really know the scriptures, or at least have a very real relationship with Jesus Christ, would be able to discern the falsehood. The book is cleverly written. Make no mistake about that. Now let me share this with you. Matthew 24, verses 23 through 27, tells us that we are not to accept anyone's word that Christ is in the earth. For when Jesus actually comes back, his appearance will be plain to all people of the earth, for it will be as the lightning shining from the east to the west. Verse 23 actually tells us plainly that if someone says, "Here is Christ," or "there," do not believe them, for when Christ returns, he will appear in the sky, and all eyes shall see him. I know that most of you don't need me to tell you this, but I say this for the sake of those few who may be listening and don't know what the scripture is telling us. And one last thing, if God gives you some insight into the meanings of part or all of this vision, please contact me and share it. Thanks.
Thank you for joining us for Scripture Beneath the Surface. If you would like a copy of today's program, please contact us and ask for message number 22, The Vision. As always, there is no charge for our material, and you will not be asked for any donation. In addition, we will send you the complete list of our messages, which contain such topics as Image of the Beast, Mark of the Beast, and the Rapture. There are several ways to obtain our messages. Just contact us in the way which is easiest for you. Our postal address is Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. That's Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. We also have an email address. It is preparationministries@gmail.com. That's preparationministries, all one word, @gmail.com. Or you may contact us by telephone. The number is area code 269-763-2114. That's 269-763-2114. We also have a website. You can find us there under the name preparationministries.net, .com, or .org. Preparation Ministries is all one word. Thank you again for listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface, and may God bless.